You guys are awesome. We've been studying, and we're almost finished with the Revelation in our Bible study on Sunday mornings. And this song just that we just got through singing just thoroughly reminds me that God is doing something new. I mean, he's new every day, right? And we've also talked about some of us are walking through what feels like desert times. And but God brings those springs to us in the middle of the desert. Sometimes we have to wait, just as Elijah. We have to say, I'm just not experiencing those streams, God. I'm not experiencing it. There's too much thunder. There's too much fire. There's too much wind. But God says, be still and know that I am God. And if you are his today, then you're going to be able to sing out this nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It has washed us clean. And someday, because of his blood, we will be walking with him in heaven. So sing with us here with this one as well. This one might be a new song for you, but this is a beautiful, beautiful song as we're waiting for the Lord just to help us to enter into his presence. He's here, but we get so busy and we sing and we blend our voices, but it's all for God's praise. So if you don't know this one, I think by the time we're done, you will. And let's just go ahead and sing it. Just worshipful as we get ready for our prayer, our praise time with the Lord.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Take over, come breathe.
sing. Sorry, guys.
Abide in me, I pray. And here I am longing for you. And hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more.
Is that your prayer today?
Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me.
So, Father, we just pray right now that as we come together to hear the praises of your people and to bring our prayer requests to you, that you guide all things, that you will just help us to find that as we are obedient in bringing these requests to one another, that, God, you get the praise. We are already thanking you for how you are answering our prayers and in our midst. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. The thing we have to realize is, you know, the work is never done, is it? No matter how much you do, there's still always something to do. So you got to pick out what's the good, better, and best, right? There's good, better, and best that you can do. A lot of times we settle for the good when we could be doing the best. Does that make sense? Especially for God sometimes. You know, we put a little thing here and there and spend a few minutes here and there, expect him to give us the best when we give him not always the best. We have some prayer requests this morning. I know Pat McAvoy had surgery on her shoulder. Last time I heard, she was in a lot of pain. I did call Bob and ask him if he needed any help. He said no, he's doing okay for right now. Ann Cordell had her fingers operated on. She had to get pins put in. She had her kayak, and she was trying to go down a ramp or stairs or something, and the rope was wrapped around her fingers and broke her fingers, so she had to get pins in her fingers. So I said that's pretty common for a lot of things, especially if you walk your dog. Don't wrap your leash around your fingers, because if they pull it, they can break your fingers. So anyway, she's here with us today, showing us her little cast thing she's got on. So I'll continue to pray for her. Fran is at Madison. It's called Madison House. Is that the name of it?
Yes,
Madison House in London. So if you get a chance to visit her, I think it's room 210.
204.
So go to 210 first, visit that person, then go to 204, and then visit Fran as well. So 204, visit Fran. She's up for visitors. Gets kind of lonely staring at the four walls in there. So it's good to see familiar people. So if you get a chance, get in there and visit her. Can't think of any other requests. We have any other prayer requests this morning that we have? Sandy's getting operated on pretty soon.
Just want to thank everyone for your prayers and your cards and your text messages and all your words of encouragement, all your hugs. And I will be having surgery on Thursday, but I have a peace about it. The Lord's going to take care of it. Thank you.
I'm going to leave church early today. I praise God, my new son-in-law is getting baptized at Lake Choctaw. I don't know where that's at, but I'm sure I'll find it. I'm so happy he found Jesus. You all know Jean Ann, so it's her new husband. And pray for him. He's Don't need all you can get. Thank you.
Any other requests this morning? Oh, new guy. You have a new guy back here.
We have a conservation club member that his daughter had her baby like 3 months early, and she's still in intensive care and like won't get out of the hospital till September. So if our congregation would pray for that family.
Yeah, the medical field's amazing what they can do today with preemies. So I'll keep praying for that. Our grandson was in the NICU for a number of weeks, and so we were glad to have him out. It's a stress to go there. You go there a couple times a day to visit them, and then back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So it's probably stressful on the parents as well. And so we're just glad that the baby's actually able to be in that care and that they made it. I mean, I've seen them as small as like little, just little teeny things, and they survive. So, you know, God's, pray for God's hand to be in there.
I just want to say, everybody might want to start driving on the sidewalks. Alex has her driver's license now.
See, I did see that tank out there with rubber bumpers around the edge this morning. Okay, well, we're going down that road. Not, we're done with that road now. Okay. Any other prayer requests this morning? Alex, you are normal.
If you happen to think of me Tuesday morning about 8:30, I'd appreciate your help. I'm having some dental work, and it's nothing compared to what a lot of people are going through with surgery right now, but I'm a total wimp, and I'm very claustrophobic, so you're stuck in that chair, and they're hovering over you, and they put that thing on your mouth so they can work on the one tooth. I'm getting a root canal and a tooth pulled at the same time. So, yeah. Horrible way to celebrate Flag Day, but think of me Tuesday morning, and could be worse, but.
You can talk to Russ about that. He's an expert. And you can get a red, white, and blue crown. That would be in honor of Flag Day. All right, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. You've heard the requests about surgeries and dentists and babies and all these things that are happening, Lord, in our lives. We know there's sickness out there, there's turmoil, there's conflict that are happening in people's lives as well. And we just pray you'd be there working in them, through them, and with them. Lord, we know we can't do it on our own. I know we try, but it doesn't work. So we just put our trust and faith in you and pray for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you in a personal way. We know what the end is. We know that we're with you in heaven in the end. We know the journey may be rough at times, but we know we're not alone. And we're talking about that this morning, Lord, that God is with us. And we praise you for that and ask for peace for those who need peace, comfort for those who need comfort, healing for those who need healing. We'd ask you to be with them and just provide that today. Encouragement for those who are discouraged and healing for those who need to be touched this morning. Whether it's physical or spiritual or mental, whatever it may be, we know you can be there. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of life, for these little babies that are being born, and how you've helped us in the medical field be able to make these pregnancies last, and these babies to be able to grow up and be okay even though they're born early. We know it wasn't a surprise to you. We know that you're there, and we pray you be with the family this morning. In your name, amen. As we're getting ready for communion this morning, I'm just going to read this little thing from Carol Penner. It's called Come to the Table. Come to the table of Jesus, our Redeemer.
Jesus invites you here as part of the people of God. Come to the table humbly, not because you've earned a place here, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love God and want to love God more. Come because Jesus first loved us and gave himself for us. Come because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And come because you want to experience the mystery of God's grace. So as we pass out the elements, take some time. Ask God if everything's right with you and him. If not, then make it right. He talks about taking unworthily. So we want to make sure that we're worthy when we take communion, our time with him. So as we pass out the elements, take a few minutes, pray to him. If you're good, pray for somebody else. The night he was handed over, Jesus had a meal with his friends. He took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread and eat in remembrance of him. His body was broken for us. After supper, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, remember me." So let's take and drink together, remembering what he did for us. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who pursues a relationship with us, who loves us, who died for us, even on the cross where he suffered. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, to feed us, to fill us, to give us your power, to help us to be like you. Lord, as we leave this place, may we be your instruments. May we serve you to the best of our ability in your name. Amen. We have a special guest with us this morning, Chris Fraley, Steinbrecher.
The song you guys know, and feel free to sing with me, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And I was listening to the prayer requests and even some that we have, and a lot of our prayer requests are just for strength, for that three-month-old, or the baby born, after 6 months? This little child needs strength and needs to be able to get the strength to be able to move and to be able to make it. And we pray for that strength every day. We think of Fran Pruitt, who needs the strength to be able to start walking, and the desire. You know, sometimes it's the desire that we're lacking. But when you've experienced the love of the Father, He gives us that joy and that hope and that desire. His love is so deep. And so we just pray this prayer. You guys go ahead and sing with me if you know it. And I would love you guys to sing with me. It doesn't have to be me.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath hath brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. What should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. What should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen.
Well, we all know life's hard, isn't it? We go through many things in life, growing pains, heartaches, hurts, disappointments, discouragements, and failures. We face fears and sorrow and loss and loneliness, because life is a journey, isn't it? But it's impossible to do it alone. Yet people try it, don't they? They think their money's going to get them through, their health, their intelligence. Fact is, all those things can fail at a moment's notice. You can lose your money, lose your health, lose your faculties in an instant when you think, I got everything all set up. I got this all worked out. And then something happens, something changes. But they're not promised. But why do we depend on them? Maybe we're misinformed or misled into believing that we're enough But without God, we're not enough, are we? Only through Him, He's enough. But we need to be with God, and He needs to be with us. And the Bible gives examples. I could have given example after example this morning. I've picked out just two examples that we can think about where God was with these people. I think of Moses. Even as a baby, God was with him, protecting him. In that basket of reeds, there's crocodiles in the Nile, all kinds of things could have happened that could have turned over. But yet his family trusted him to the Lord. God spoke to him through a burning bush, and Moses obeyed. And God told him to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the Israelites go. Moses said, I have a stutter or something, right? He was not a good speaker. So his brother Aaron went with him to help. But God provided in that situation as well. And he gave him instructions and guidance and power and protection. He led the Israelites to freedom. But Pharaoh pursued, didn't he? So he used a pillar of cloud to guide him and a pillar of fire to protect him. When Pharaoh tried to attack, he couldn't attack him, could he? His army was drowned, and God saved him. So we know that God was with him. We could see the results of God being there. We don't always see God personally, but we see the results. We see the effects that he's there. Then I think of Ehud. You don't hear that name much, do you? Ehud and King Eglon. Well, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and consequently had been under oppression from the Moabites and King Eglon for 18 years. Took them 18 years of being under oppression to cry out to the Lord and ask him for help. So the Lord sent them Ehud, which was a left-handed man. Anybody in here left-handed? One, two. Two Ehuds in here. Left-handed. That was the purpose. Because if you read the story, you know that Ehud went in to talk to the king. And the king was very suspicious about people. So he grabbed his right hand when he talked to him because he didn't want to be killed. But Ehud was left-handed. He took his dagger and stabbed the king, if you heard that. The king was so heavy the dagger disappeared, right? He couldn't even see it. The king died, and that led to the Israelites defeating the Moabites, and they had peace for 80 years. So God was with Ehud in this plan, this whole thing to work out, that he was left-handed, that he went in there. He was picked specifically by the Lord because he was left-handed. I'm sure they didn't go say, which one of you guys are left-handed? No, God just said, you know, Ehud, you're supposed to do this. And we know sometimes when God speaks to us, there's things we're supposed to do. And that's what he was supposed to do, and that helped his people to have peace for 80 years. And there's all kinds of stories that we could go through, but I've done something a little different this morning. I've used scripture after scripture after scripture, so you're going to see different verses up here going through different things that we're going to talk about. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, Moses tells the people, when you go out to battle against your enemies, you'll see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you. But don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. So they're facing an army that's vast, it's huge, it's bigger than they are. They probably had better weapons than they had. But he said, the Lord's on your side, fighting with you and fighting for you. Don't be afraid. I think the same applies to us today. We see enemies and things that seem to be ganging up on us. Things seem to be falling apart in a lot of places. We feel overwhelmed. But God said, as believers, don't be afraid because the Lord is with you. You're not going through this alone. You're probably not even the first one that's gone through it. There's other people that have gone through things. Maybe they can talk with you and encourage you, or you can talk with somebody else that's going through something that you know of to encourage them. They were God's people, and as Christians, so are we. So these things apply to us as well. Joshua 1:9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We hear it, but do we believe God's with us wherever we go? You ever walk down Hudson Avenue? To know is God with you? I'll tell you a story about that, which is not my notes, but I don't use my notes all the time anyway. I was down there one time painting a house for a friend of mine. And that's kind of a drug dealer area. And as I was painting the house, this guy walks up and said, I need a job. I said, I don't have one. I said, it's just me doing this. He goes, remember, you're in the hood. I'm like, okay. Anyway, so what happens in that area is the police come through and they try to find this drug dealer guy, and nobody would tell on him where he was. And then when the police left, he's walking down the street yelling stuff out. But I wasn't afraid in that area because I knew God was with me in that place. But those kind of situations, you know, where you're uncomfortable and you're not really sure, you have the assurances that God is there. And I wasn't nervous or afraid. I just said, sorry, I don't have any work for you, because I didn't. But in those situations, we know God's with us. No matter where we go, we're never alone. So we can be strong and not afraid. I don't think not afraid doesn't mean that you're ever scared, because I think sometimes we're scared, but we still do the right thing. They talk about heroes aren't always the ones who aren't afraid. They're just the ones who did the right thing. So we can still do things even though we're kind of scared, because it's the right thing to do. We can be strong and courageous. Psalm 23:4 is a familiar one for you. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. So even though David and us face death in grim situations, we don't need to be afraid. God can give us comfort. Because for a Christian, what's the end? Heaven, being with the Lord, being with those who have gone before us. That's the end. The process of getting there is not always what we want to go through, but being there is what you want. A lot of times we go on vacations and my wife loves to drive and I hate driving for more than a half hour. And I hate the process of getting there, but I like it when we arrive. And in life, we go through that. Our lifetime, sometimes our situations, the process, the journey is not fun. We have things that happen to us that we don't like, that we don't expect, that we can't plan. That's in the journey. But we're going to be there. Sometimes God's with us and we're going to be with Him and those who've gone on before us. Even though it might be fearful, we know we're going to spend eternity with Him and He gives us comfort. And sometimes people can't understand that. How can you be comforted in this situation? Something terrible happened because God gave me a peace that I can't explain. Psalm 118, 6 through 7 says, the Lord's with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord's with me. He's my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. I like it. He says two times, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. He's almost reminding himself, God's with me. It's like when we go somewhere and say, it's going to be okay. Right, Cindy, when you go to the dentist, it's going to be okay. It's going to be over pretty soon. It's going to be done. I'll be finished. It's only one time. Right? When I go, I cross my legs all the time. I cross my feet over each other, and I have to go, oh, stop, because I do it for so long that my foot starts to go to sleep, and I have to go. I have to make myself wake up and say, okay, it's going to be all right. Just uncross your feet now, and don't have the fear. Because we know the Lord's our helper, so we can triumph over our enemies, but we need to remind ourselves when we're tempted not to give up. You know the end of the story. You know what's going to happen in the end. You know God wins. These verses tell us that He's our helper. And men, what can men do to us? They can kill you, but that's it. They can't kill your spirit. They can't kill your soul, right? They can't stop your prayers. They can't stop your faith. What can mere man do to us? Because we have a Savior. And He was proclaimed long before He came. A guy named Pastor Jimmy Gill reminds us that the prophets foretold the coming of a new covenant, which God's Messiah would come and deliver His people from their sin and from death, and God's glory could dwell among men once again. He says, when Judah was threatened by Syria and Ephraim, the Lord prophesied through Isaiah that a child would be born to a virgin, and His name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this child coming is going to be God with us. This is going to be God in the flesh. It's going to be God's presence here on earth to save us, to offer us salvation. Zechariah says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. You think the Lord is here in our midst this morning? We don't see Him, but you know He's here, right? Sometimes you can feel His presence. Sometimes you just know. Sometimes you go on faith. But there are times, occasionally, when we go through situations and we know God's there. Because we know we couldn't do this. We couldn't make it. I couldn't get through this unless God was with me. And then in Matthew chapter 1, he shows us that when Jesus was born to Mary, it was the ultimate fulfillment of the prophecy, God with us. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel." Can you imagine hearing that from Mary? "I'm a virgin and I had a child." What? That's not possible. You're right. Humanly, it's not possible, but through God, anything's possible. And people are probably asking questions about that all the time. But God's with us today, and there's many benefits of being with him and him being with us. The scripture goes through and gives us different things about why it's good for us to have God with us or for us to be with him. Sometimes God wants to be with us, but we don't want to be with him. Which doesn't make sense, does it? Creator of the universe wants to be with you, but sometimes people reject him and say, I don't need God. I don't want that. And you're like, why? Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." Remember I told you about Ehud was left-handed? Usually the right hand is the strong hand, which is what the king was thinking. He's a right-handed man, but Ehud was left-handed. So God's going to hold us up with his righteous right hand. He knows what's going on. He doesn't cause our troubles. But sometimes people say, "God, why'd you let that happen to me? Why'd you do this to me?" God's like, "I didn't cause it, but I'm here in the midst of it." When we go through situations we don't understand or we don't like, he gives us strength to help us, and he holds us up when we feel down or feel like giving up. You ever get in a situation where somebody else had to help you, hold you up? Especially if you hurt your ankle or your foot or something and somebody's got to help you get to the car or get you to the hospital, wherever it is, because you can't do it yourself. But you need that person to hold you up. And sometimes we get that way spiritually, or we just feel down, we feel alone, we feel away from God, and he holds us up so we can get through and get back to where we should be with him. Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." Like the Israelites, the Lord goes before us. Can you imagine the Lord himself going before you, in front of you? I looked up a guy this week, one of the biggest NFL lineman? His name is Eric Winston. He's 6'7", 302 pounds. So can you imagine going somewhere and following him? You go through the store somewhere and he just walks through and you just walk behind him because he makes the way. He goes before you. Wherever you want to go, you just say, "Eric, I want to go here." So he just walks ahead and you just go behind him. Kind of like what the Lord does for us. He goes ahead of us and prepares the way so we can get through. He finds out where the weak spots are, where the holes are, where the dangers are, and he shows us, "Watch out for that. Look out for this. Don't go over there. Keep looking this way." He's in front of us. He guides us and directs us. God not only goes before us, but he's never going to leave us or forsake us. We were talking about doing bikes with our grandkids this week. They were riding their bikes. And I usually hold on to the bike for a while, you know, then eventually let go. Well, I guess one of my daughters had a horrible memory because I guess I let go too soon. She's like, "That was the worst crash I ever had in my life." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know that." You know, you run behind them. I remember a lot of times riding my bike, parents would hold on and let go. And then you just crash. And you get up and crash again. But God's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's going to be there the whole time holding on, not letting us go. We may think he let go, but he's always there. When you read the poem, "Footprints in the Sand," remember there's only 2 foot sets of prints? And that's when you left me, God. And he goes, "No, that's when I actually carried you." So we know he's always there with us. John 16:33 says, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Trouble's going to come to all of us at some time or another. Whatever form is going to come in, you're going to have some kind of trouble. You're not going to avoid it. If you're avoiding it, you're not telling the truth because you've had it or you're going to have it. But God's always there in the midst of that trouble to be with us. Remember when you had little kids and you always held their hand when you walked and they would trip and fall and you had to hold their hand so they couldn't fall? That's what it's like for me. God's there and he's upholding our hands so that we're not going to fall. We're not going to be able to hit the ground. I remember we were going ice skating with our kids, and don't know if you've ever ice skated with your kids before, but it's an adventure. And I always wear boots and not skates because I'm like, I'm not going to fall when you fall. But I can remember hauling them, their feet are all going over the place and I'm hanging out of their hand. But they knew they weren't going to fall because I wasn't going to let go. And that's what God does to us. No matter how much you're slipping and sliding and think you're falling everywhere, he's got a hold of our hand and he's not going to let us go, so we're not going to fall. We may slip, but he's not going to let us fall. Matthew 11, 28, 29, come to me all who are weak, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You know, a yoke is when you hook two oxen together, right? It's not just the middle part of an egg. You hook two oxen, they both pull, they're both hooked together. He's saying his yoke is upon us. To me, we're yoked with him. He's right next to us. When we're doing things, we're doing it together, and he's there with us. So are you tired about worrying about things and tired about trying to figure things out? You sick and tired of being sick and tired? You need to lean on him so he can give you rest. I think he's talking about spiritual rest in this passage, but I think he does give us physical rest as well. Sometimes we need to just rest as people. A lot of times in this society, this culture, it's work, 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 work all the time. And if you rest, you feel guilty, like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Feeling guilty. I'm guessing that's why sometimes Americans die quicker than other nationalities. Because some people take rest. They give their body time to recover. And he's telling us he'll give us rest. And rest for our souls. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If God's with us and we confess our sins to him, we have the promise of being made clean. You ever been somewhere in a desert or wherever and get all hot and sweaty? And then you come in to hug your wife and she goes, get away from me. Right? How does that feel when you're all hot and sweaty and dirty and you try to walk around? Sometimes we get that way spiritually. We're dirty and sweaty. And then we try to be around people and it's not working. Like, what's going on? God's like, because you're not clean. I need to make you clean. So we go to him, we confess our sins, and we become clean. Not so we can just go out and get dirty again, so that we can be used by him and be clean like we're supposed to be. And he helps us get to that point. They can be washed of their guilt and shame and their sin, and he enables us the ability to be that way. I think that's why there's a lot of issues in our world today, because people are walking around like that. They're dirty spiritually. They need to be clean. Some of them don't know that that can happen. Some of them don't care because they're either misinformed or they just are that way. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The greatest need we have is to be forgiven of our sins and be ushered into heaven. That's the greatest need we have because that's an eternal need that we have. He knows we need food and clothing and all those kinds of things. But more than that, we need a relationship with Christ. And then we're going to have all his riches in Christ Jesus. While I was reading this week, I found an excerpt from John Wesley on his deathbed. I thought it was interesting, and I'll just share it this morning. It says, "After a little after Mr. Horton coming in, we hope that if he had anything of a moment of his on his mind which he wished to communicate, he would again try to tell us what it was." So John was on his bed and he was trying to talk, but he couldn't really talk very well. So he was hoping that when Mr. Horton came in, which is one of his friends, he could understand what John was trying to say to them. That's what it says in English to me anyway. And they said, Mr. Horton, or some of those who were most used to hear our father's dying voice, would be able to interpret his meaning. But though he strove to speak, we were still unsuccessful. Finally, we could not understand what he said. He paused a little, and then with all the remaining strength he had, he cried out, "The best of all is, God is with us." And then, as if to assert the faithfulness of our promise-keeping Jehovah and comfort the hearts of his weeping friends, lifting up his dying arm in a token of victory and raising his feeble voice, with a holy triumph, not to be expressed again, repeated the heart-reviving words, best of all, God is with us. So John Wesley knew that the best thing that we could have is God to be with us. Even in this wasn't his last word, he said a few things after that, but some of his last breaths were, God is with us. And what more could we as Christians ask or hope for, that God is with us and that God is enough? Seems people always want more, don't they? I need more of this, more of that, more of this. Are we ever going to be satisfied with God's enough? I don't need to have everything, own everything, be everything, do everything. I can be satisfied that God knows what I need and what I want, and he's enough for me. He gives us strength. He's not going to leave us. He won't fail us. We don't need to be afraid. We can have peace. Our steps can be firm. We'll have rest, forgiveness. We can be made righteous. He can meet all our needs and much more. One day we're going to be with him, and we're going to see those who have gone before. That can be a glorious reunion when you see all those people that have been gone before and said, oh, I've missed you so much. And you see them face to face. Revelation 21, John sees the bride of Christ, which is the church coming from heaven to earth, and he says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He'll dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So we're going to dwell together with the Lord. We always sing that song, got a mansion just over the hilltop. If you don't have a mansion now, you'll have one then, won't you? But it won't matter if it's a material mansion. It'll be a spiritual mansion. So this morning, we can just thank the Lord that he's with us. The question is, are we with him? Let's pray. Father, just thank you this morning, Lord, for being with us. God, help us to be with you and know that you're the most important thing, our relationship with you, accepting you as our Savior, so that we may spend eternity together. Help us be witnesses for you. Let us know that you don't leave us or forsake us, that you're with us all the time, giving us strength to do the things you want us to do in your name. Amen.
I need to tell a really quick story. I'm going to make it quick. It was a long day. So we were living in Macedonia in Skopje. Skopje, at the time we lived there, was a very dirty city, very, very busy. I mean, garbage everywhere. It's starting to kind of look like that here. But at the time, you know, it was just a hard city to live in if you like beauty. And it was former Yugoslavia. Bob and I were missionaries there, and for the first year that we were there, we did not have a car, so we rode our bikes around, and we did a lot of walking, and we were teaching, I was teaching at an English school, teaching English to the students. So, you know, I did a lot of walking that day, and I, you know, you have to dress up there, and, you know, I had these shoes on, and I was getting these blisters, and Bob and I had decided that after my meeting, and there, the school is in the nighttime. These people are, I mean, midnight is still, they're going strong. You can go to have your coffee at midnight, and so it was late when I got out of teaching these the students, and Bob had said, why don't we meet at this one restaurant? So it's late, 10, maybe 11 o'clock at night, and we go to this restaurant, and it's close to our anniversary, and my feet, after miles of walking, they're starting to really hurt, and Bob and I are talking, and I was a little bit discouraged about things. Things were a little bit hard for going for us, and so I was laying all these things out to my husband, you know, and he's being a good listener. It's going to get better and all these things, you know, and it was time to go home, and I was feeling pretty good, but still, like, they're still burdened. I'm still got something, and I just didn't really know how to express that, but it still wasn't quite all gone. But as I began walking home, and we still have another mile or so to walk, this blister on my leg, just on my foot, just started acting up, and I started complaining again to my husband. My foot hurts so much, and he's like, what's the matter? I've just got this blister here, and he's saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, walk a little bit further. Well, I complained some more, and, you know, finally after, I don't know, maybe the third complaint, Bob's saying, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to carry you? You know, I'm stopped, and I'm like, no, what I need is a Band-Aid like that. And in this dirty city, there was this Band-Aid, beautiful Band-Aid, all wrapped up nicely, not used, covered, and it was just perfect. And I said, like that one. And I stopped and put it on. What a sweet reminder. God went before me. And that completed. I needed to know God is with us, always going before. You need a Band-Aid? He's got it. So praise God. You guys want to stand with me and sing this one, Abide With Me Again? Is that not up there? Here I'm waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your wings, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life, take over, come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life, take over, come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. You guys are beautiful. Go with God. He is going with you.